In your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. It is Christmas time. I want to read from the Christmas story to get started tonight. And again, there's lots of repetition at Christmas time. I like it. I'm a forgetful person. I forget where I am a lot of times. I need somebody to remind me. And I like Christmas, so we talk about the Christmas story a lot. And we sing some of the same songs over and over. Joy of the World, you know, the songs we sang tonight. I like hearing things over again. I like looking at them a little different way, but just to remind ourselves, even both the songs that Sue sang, both very good and a lot of truth in both those songs. There's a lot of truth in the Christmas story. I want to read Luke chapter 2, just to get us started out tonight. The first few verses, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Hopefully we all read this on Christmas Day, so we'll read through it together. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we'll stop right there for right now. Two little phrases I want to point out tonight from those first seven verses. To be taxed, this is all one phrase, taxing, taxed, to be taxed. And then that little phrase in verse 6, while they were there. I don't know, a couple weeks ago I was thinking about tonight and thinking about life does not stop at Christmas time. I always think it should. I think everything should just come to a screeching halt. And we should all just, you know, gather around a nativity scene and read the Christmas story. But life doesn't stop at Christmas. In fact, sometimes life gets a lot more busy and we're trying to do more good things and we're more stressed than we are the rest of the year when we're not thinking about Jesus when he was born and Joseph and Mary. So life does not stop at Christmas now. I wish it did. I wish it would slow down. But for Joseph and Mary, life didn't stop for them either. It doesn't today and it didn't then. It was probably loud and crowded. It probably didn't smell too great. We'll read later, you know, there was no room in the inn, and the innkeeper wasn't real nice, and there were animals around, and I don't like, you know, when it's cold and rainy, and we don't know what it was like that night. But God doesn't do things by accident. So if life did not stop for Joseph and Mary, and life still doesn't, you know, come to a halt today, there's probably a purpose in it. And I don't understand it, but I'm glad I don't understand it. Because if God had to fit in my understanding, we'd all be in trouble. And there are some people I really respect, and even if God had to fit in what they understood and what they knew, we'd still be in trouble because God is bigger than we are, and God knows more than we know. So I don't have to understand it, but life didn't stop at Christmas. They still had to be taxed. The reason they went to Bethlehem, yes, it was prophesied. You know, Herod heard the prophecy about in Micah, where it talked about Bethlehem, and that the ruler would come out of Bethlehem and be a governor, shall rule my people Israel. That was in Matthew chapter 2. And maybe Joseph and Mary were like 100% with it. You know, the angel had come to them and a miracle had already happened. Mary was with child and maybe they were 100% and they got it. Now, I don't know if they did or not. I think they believed it enough to follow what God wanted them to do. But regardless of that, it was tax time. It was time to pay taxes and everybody went to pay their taxes. And while that was happening, Mary was going to have a baby at the same time while they were there. And while they were there, Jesus Christ was born. While they were there doing this, you know, thing that everybody should do, paying their taxes, being counted, and showing up where they were supposed to be, Jesus was born. And I thought all throughout the Bible, it's so much of, you know, while they were there, something happened. And the reason they were there might not have been the best reason, but while they were there, to be taxed or to be tested or to show up and just get in line and do what you're supposed to do, something miraculous happened. Here's a couple examples. I'm glad we're short on time tonight. I was worried about getting done early, but we'll get it done on time. Dad talked about Gideon on Sunday, but Gideon was, you know, just trying to thresh wheat and kind of hide from the Midianites, and the angel came and said he was a great, mighty man, and Gideon said, well, if God's so great, why isn't he doing more to confront our enemies? You know, why has all this befallen us, is what Gideon said. Joseph lived his whole life, Old Testament Joseph, and when he got to the very end of his life, he said to his brothers, which I don't know if, I never had brothers, so I guess it's different, but Aaron's going to have a brother, but I don't understand what it's like to have somebody betray you and then turn back and then say, you know, here's some food, and then his brothers were cared for by the person that they betrayed. And Joseph said, you meant it for evil, and God meant it for good to save much people alive. So I'll skip through some of my illustrations, but I think we talked about David and Moses. Moses' parents were just trying to get their son to survive the decree that all the kids would be thrown in the river. And because they were there, and while they were there just trying to survive, God chose to use Moses in a great way. Daniel was trying to eat right and keep himself healthy and keep himself pure when he was taken into captivity. But while he was there, God decided to use him to prove his power to unbelieving number of kings and to show us today that even though he was stuck in what might have been a permanent problem, God made it a temporary problem. God took the lion's den and said, yeah, there is no way out except for the fact that the lion's mouths were blocked, and God stepped in a miraculous way. And while Daniel was there just trying to do what he was supposed to do, to be taxed or just getting in line and showing up where he was told to go, you know, in, he didn't have much of a choice. A lot of these people were slaves most of their lives. I thought about Ruth and Esther. Esther was pretty much thrown into this situation where the king wanted a new wife, and I don't think she wanted to be there, but she was taken probably against her will and into this contest to become a king's wife. And while she was there, while that was all happening, God used her to save her race of people from destruction. And you probably know the stories better than I do, but all throughout the Bible, God used things that we would not want to use. God used bureaucracy, and you know, this guy wanted to count all the people, so he had Joseph show up, and Joseph and Mary, and he said it's time to tax, to take a census, and Joseph had to get back to Bethlehem. And God used an ignorant bully named Goliath to get David ready to be a king. And God used Joseph's brothers. In the Old Testament, God used Joseph's brothers to get Joseph ready eventually to work next to Pharaoh and to have as much power as anybody in the whole world, Pharaoh. God used Gideon's enemies, and he used fleece when Gideon doubted. God used little things to get Gideon ready that while he was there, something big was going to happen. So God does use hunger. A lot of people were hungry. God uses greed and anger and leaders that we might not trust and bitter enemies, and God uses storms and today what we call human rights violations. You know, God uses like the prison that Joseph was in, or God uses the way they treated Esther, almost like a slave or someone that's bought and sold. And God uses all these cheaters and liars and people that betray. I don't know if God uses us in spite of us. That's why God uses all this in our messed up world to show us his power and grace and mercy. While Joseph and Mary were there to be taxed, while they were there, Jesus, our Savior, was born. Paul talked about it in Ephesians, and he said, I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he said, this is Ephesians chapter 3, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And Paul said, the reason I am in all this, the reason I am here, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and sometimes that means being beaten and being shipwrecked and being left for dead. But the reason I do all that is because while I'm here doing what God has asked me to do, something else is going to take place. The freedom that only comes from God will be delivered to the people that Paul was preaching to the Gentiles. In our life today, if we want God's will revealed in our lives, if we want to accomplish his will as individuals, and again, as Brother Clint prayed tonight, I'm a young guy, so I thought, you know, when God's going to reveal his will to me, everything else will stop. You know, everything, the world will stop, and the glory of God will be revealed, and I'll know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And so far, I found, there have been a few times where I felt like, you know, this is, you know, the perfect will, and this is exactly what I want you to do in this moment. But most of the time, it's just showing up and being where you're supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, God says, hey, while you're here, you know, I'm going to let you do something great for me. Joseph and Mary, to be taxed, you could be strained or stretched or burdened. Or I'm sure, now that I've seen my wife go through it, I'm sure Mary was not always perfect and always happy to be carrying, be great with child and be on a trip and be where they were at that time and not at home. To be called on to give an account for something that you did or that you really didn't do, but now you have to answer for it. And they were in that situation, and God uses life's interruptions to give us his blessings. And I thought about this, God's blessing and the challenges always go to the people that don't deserve them. Because if we say we're the good people, then God still gives us blessings that are beyond what we deserve. And if we say we're the bad people, then God gives us less judgment than we deserve. In Matthew, it says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And I thought, well, not everybody wants it to rain. I don't know if rain is always a good thing. Today it was kind of not so good, you know, just rain and overcast, and you don't feel happy and excited about it. But God gives us more than what we deserve, less of the bad and more of the good. So despite the circumstances, you might be being taxed. You might be being taxed unfairly in whatever situation in your life. But while you're there, while you're doing what you're supposed to do, God can step in and bless in your life. I think about this, but I get to preach in junior church. And if you think about the stories in the Bible, and the reason they're awesome is because, there was an obstacle. Yes, there was a time of taxing, but God got them through it. You know, if I had to stand up every week and tell the kind of Bible stories that could be in the Bible, that would be a horrible thing. If you talk about there was a bully named Goliath, and he said, send me a man to fight, and nobody came out and fought, so then all the Philistines had more slaves. You know, all the kids would go home crying because that's a horrible story. Or I said, oh, there was a mean king, and he built a big idol, and he said, everybody fall down and worship my idol. If you don't do it, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And there was a couple guys that they didn't want to, but they just decided to bow down, and so everybody bowed down, and that's my point today, kids. You know, just if something bad happens, just go along with it. No, the reason we like these stories is because somebody stood up for what they believed. Somebody saw an obstacle and they overcame it. Somebody realized that God had put them in that situation for them to learn from it and to overcome it. Jesus said to one of his best friends, Peter, he just got done talking about the suffering that he was going to go through, what Sue sang about a little bit, that he said, I'm going to go to the cross and all this is going to happen to me. And Peter said, no, that's not going to happen. And Jesus called Peter Satan and said, get behind me. And he said, I have to tackle this obstacle. This is why I'm here. This is the hardship and the taxing and the trials are why Jesus came. So as saved Christians today, we're very glad that somebody went through a trial. I'm glad that Jesus, and even go back to Joseph and Mary, I'm glad Joseph and Mary did what they did so God could use them to give us Christ. And I'm glad that Jesus saw every obstacle as a reason to have God's leading in his life. All the way through the Bible, it's true. Nehemiah, when he built the wall, if he'd have given up, you wouldn't tell that story. Learning a new skill or learning a better behavior, that means we have to face the mistakes that we have made. Learning to avoid sin means we have to acknowledge the sin in our life. I brought this as my illustration. Everybody loves stories about kids, but Aaron, we've been reading him this book at night about manners, and his favorite page is, talking with your mouth full is totally rude. No one wants to see all that chewed up food. So every time we read this to Aaron, and he loves this whole book, he likes to act it out. But what I have found in teaching my son manners and trying to teach him right and wrong and, you know, try to teach him to be polite, he starts correcting me. Now he loves to say, Daddy, don't talk in your mouth. And that means I might be saying something, there might be food in my mouth. So we gotta be careful to learn, and then we have to be careful to acknowledge that if we have a mistake to fix, it's our mistake to fix. It's our time of taxing. And while we're doing that, but only while we're doing that, is when God can step in and say, yes, you're learning a lesson, let me use you in a greater way. The taxing things of life are not, may not be sent, or they're allowed by God. They're not there to stop you. If they were there to stop you, that would be a boring story, and nobody would talk about you in junior church. Nobody would tell your story if the obstacles were there to stop you. They were there so God can spur you on to accomplish more. And we did talk about this Sunday night. Apostle Paul said, I get my thorn in the flesh because it gives glory to God. I glory in my weakness. So while you're waiting to be delivered, or like if Mary, if you're waiting to for God to accomplish the delivery of Christ, and while you're being taxed or tried or punished or, you know, just another number standing in line waiting to be counted and waiting for somebody to take what you're giving them, trust in God's plan. A little part of a song that I like, it says, trust the heart of the Father when the answer lies beyond what you can see. And I think I talked about it with the teen Sunday, but that in Psalm 119, and it's part of when we say the pledge to the Bible at Bible school, we say, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that's a comfort to us to trust God and to trust God's word. But even the Bible gives us what we need for today. It doesn't light the entire path. It doesn't tell us what every step of the way is going to be, because if God did that, if God's word spelled out our individual lives, we'd probably be so scared of it, we wouldn't follow through and trust God. So God gives us one step at a time, and trust God each step of the way. Trust God's grace and mercy, and if you have to choose between favor with God and favor with men, choose favor with God. We were reading from Luke chapter 2. If you want to turn back to Luke chapter 1, when verse 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and we'll be done, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And again, where Mary was and where Mary was going to be in Luke chapter 2, she might not always felt that way. She might have felt that people didn't believe her when she said that the son that she carried was of God, and didn't believe her and her husband Joseph. Verse 29, it says, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And again, I hope Mary and Joseph believed the Christmas story and believed 100%. They knew exactly what they were doing, why they were doing it. You know, they said, "Okay, I'm here to be taxed, but I'm really here because, you know, the Bible says that the Savior is going to be born and come from Bethlehem." I don't know if they knew that completely or not, but they had enough faith to follow God step by step, each step of the way. And we're thankful today that they did that. We're thankful that they overcame the obstacles so we could have Jesus Christ fulfill all the prophecy, be born where he was supposed to be born, and be our Savior, because we're Christians. We're thankful for that. And today I want to say, be thankful for what God thinks we are worthy, for the trials that God puts in our life. He thought Mary was strong enough, and he thought Joseph and Mary had the reasoning and the ability to follow him, and he trusted in them to give us Christ. And if he's giving us trials today, no matter what they might be, again, I don't haven't experienced much, but the things that God puts in his life, that's kind of like a vote of confidence that says, "I think you can handle this." And if God says you can handle it, then you can handle it. We're worthy of the trials that God gives us, our own times of testing or the times when taxing comes. So while we're here, back to the two phrases, while we're here, in line, being taxed, whatever it is, while we're here where God wants us to be, let's let God accomplish his will, and let's find favor in his sight. And tonight, that's my challenge. The mistakes that you find, the things that you're doing wrong that God is pointing out in your life, go ahead and correct them. Go ahead and step in and say, "I realize that obstacle is there for me to overcome it so God can use me to accomplish what he wants to accomplish." That's what Joseph and Mary must have said, because they let God use them, and that's what gave us Jesus Christ. So that was tonight what I wanted to share. We're going to stand, have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Sue, for those songs. And let's continue the Christmas season in the spirit of, "Lord, give us the obstacles so we can overcome them for you." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for believing in us enough, for trusting in us to give us the troubles and the trials that you do give us, Lord. And while we're in them, not if the whole world would stop and we could step back and look at it, but while we're in the trial, while we're in the midst of it, help us be thankful for the testing that you put us through. Help us be thankful for the trust we can have in you and the deliverance and the accomplishment that you'll give us when we get through it and we come out the other side ready and willing to stand as an example for what God can do in our lives. Again, Lord, I know a lot of people going through a tough time, and I just pray, Lord, that you not just comfort them, but remind them there's a reason why we might not understand it, but we can trust in you, trust in your word. Thank you for all that you do for us. Pray you continue to bless us next few weeks, and again, help us honor you in all that we do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.